Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And just to give you a flavor of what's going on, albuterol, that's a drug that's given for asthma, it's out... price when it first hit the market was $11 in October of 2013. By April of 2014, that drug cost $434, a 4,014% increase. Prevastatin, a heart medication, came out at $27 in October of 2013. By April of 2014, it was $196, a 573% increase. A lot of people know about the EpiPen. The EpiPen in 2009 came out at $103.50. By 2016, it was $608.61, a 488% increase, and nothing changed. There was one thing that changed as it relates to that drug. There was a move across the country to make sure that EpiPens were available in all school campuses across the country, thereby increasing the demand. Price went up 488%. Interestingly, too, during the same period of time, from 2013 to 2017, the number of lobbying firms that dealt with drug pricing, in 2013, there were 37. In 2017, there were 153. Let's go to line one, talk to Don. What say you, Don?
Good morning, Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
I've got a couple of solutions to the result, to the problem.
Oh, okay.
First of all, if a company wants to keep its patent on a drug, then they have to have level pricing. And what level pricing means in this, the way I operationalize that is simple. The price is the same no matter whether you buy it full cost yourself, whether you buy it through insurance, Medicare, Medicaid, or through the government across the globe. So if a company wants to maintain its patent, then they have to charge the exact same price no matter where it's at in the world and no matter who's buying it. And then, now, of course, that would require the United States to enforce these patents through treaties and trade deals. But the other thing to do, too, is to say that if you want to keep your patent, then you're relegating yourself to a type of profit similar to the way Entergy or other utility monopolies work, where you get a profit, but the government says you can only get this much profit. If you don't want to do that and you want to use the free market, that's fine, but you don't get patent protection.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like the free market options better than all other. And I really believe, and I've asked Senator Cassidy and Senator Kennedy and many folks about this particular situation. Why is Medicare or CMS, that's responsible for Medicare and Medicaid, why are they not negotiating? They are the largest provider of health care in this country, but yet they do not negotiate a price with these folks.
I agree, Sheriff, but here's the problem. All over the world, they're using our funds and our ingenuity and our innovation.
Our R&D, yeah.
So we need to stop that, and the way to stop that is to say they pay the same price our Medicare does, like it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Don, thanks so much for calling in. Back in 2006, the pharmaceutical industry allegedly promised to support President George W. Bush's 2006 Medicare Part D plan on the condition that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services would be forbidden from negotiating from lower drug prices. And in 2009 and 2010, during the negotiations that led up to the passage of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, more commonly known as Obamacare, these same folks showed up again, making the same arguments and getting the same conciliations out of the federal government. Meanwhile, you, I, and the rest of the country is suffering, having to pay these exorbitant prices for drugs. And when we look at our health insurance, it's one of the items that is often referred to as being contributory to incredible increases in pricing for health insurance. And it continues on and on and on. Let's go to Bill on line three. What say you, Bill?
Hey, no, good program. I don't think nothing's going to change from the pharmaceutical or the insurance companies as long as Congress keeps getting free health care and probably free medicine. They have no dog in this hunt, so they're going to leave it as quote, you know, they're going to leave it like it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know whether or not they get free health care. I'm going to try. I'll find out about that. But I think it's something even bigger than that. You know, when you look at the fundraising efforts, and I go back to predominantly these bills have been Democrat Party led to reduce pharmacy prices. And in most recent years, Republicans have come on board as well. But many years ago, back in 2017, I think it was, when they were dealing with a bill by Bernie Sanders and Senator Amy Klobuchar about bringing in cheaper, identical versions of prescription drugs from other countries, including Canada, 13 Democrats opposed it. And that opposition led to killing that bill. It failed on a 52-46 vote. And there were 12 Republicans that actually voted for the bill, which would have been enough to pass the bill had the Democrats stayed intact. Senators Cory Booker, Bob Menendez, Chris Coons, Robert Casey of Pennsylvania, Tom Carper, Maria Cantwell, Heidi Heitkamp, who's no longer there, as well as Joe Donnelly, Michael Bennett, Martin Heinrich, Patty Murray, John Tester, and Mark Warner, all Democrats voted against the bill. Interesting, though, their sound bites were the exact same sound bites that were put out by Big Pharma saying that they couldn't trust the efficacy of the drugs that were coming and the testing that was done on the drugs that were coming from, you know, that third world country, Canada, over there, just across our northern border, and the UK, another, you know, third world country that has no protections for their constituents either, that they couldn't trust any of that. So we wouldn't be able to avail ourselves of cheaper pharmaceuticals in trying to import those, and the bill failed. I don't know about you, but when you begin to tie and connect the dots, this is coming back to influence peddling, plain and simple, and you and I are paying the price. And I hope the president is serious about it this time and that this Congress is going to allow CMS to negotiate pricing, because it's not going to be until they act as a health care provider, which they are, in looking out for its constituent and trying to provide the best care at the cheapest price. Let's go to Arnold on line two in Harahan. What say you, Arnold?
Hey, Newell. How are you?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Good, good. Listen, this topic hits close to home because 18 years ago, I was diagnosed with chronic lymphocytic leukemia. And about 4 years ago, I was put on a drug. No, probably 5 years ago, I was put on a drug that's really saved my life. But it's $8,000 a month, and I was on a dosage that was $12,000 a month. So currently, I pay a $10 copay for the drug because my insurance picks up the rest. But it's in a Tier 5 category, the drug. I'm 66. My wife is 65, and she wants to retire, but she's basically working because to keep health insurance for her, so it will pay for this drug.
Because you may be facing a pre-existing condition exclusion if you change policies and go somewhere else, right?
Well, they won't cover this Tier 5 drug, the Medicare and Medicaid.
Right.
The drug part of it, the Part D.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me like it's ridiculous. And I talked to my doctor about it. I said, you know, how am I going to be able to afford this? And he said, well, it'll probably cost you around $1,500 through the Medicare program, you know, the Part D, when she retires. But, man, it just I said, this is never going to go down. He said, no. And the drug is $8,000.
Well, you know, Arnold, not unlike other challenges that we have in dealing with the federal government or state government, or local government, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. We hold the power to change this. And these issues need to be brought to the forefront with our elected leaders, that we need to find some resolution to these issues. Because it is, people now are working till the last days of their life simply for health insurance.
And, that's correct.
You know, and there needs to be, and they wonder why this issue of Medicare for All and all of these other programs, and they're trying to figure out how to pay it, why there is excitement around these issues are for these horror stories that we talk about each and every day of what people can and cannot afford. And
yeah,
it's not going to be until that we start addressing some of these things bucket by bucket that we're going to get to a point where this is going to ultimately change. Because I think most people recognize that the math doesn't work on Medicare for All, and we do away with our health insurance and everything else, and that we will be portioning health care. And that is the outcome in other countries as well, and where we have people waiting to get in to get a diagnostic test 6, 8, 9 months. That's not what we've grown here to expect, and it's not going to be able to be delivered under these programs that are being talked about. And I think there's a quicker way to get to where we need to get, don't you?
I sure do. I certainly do. Something needs to be done because people just can't afford these prices. I mean, luckily for me, I put away for my retirement. But I wasn't expecting to pay this kind of money for a drug. But like I say, it is a drug that's keeping me alive.
Yeah. Well, Arnold, thank you so much for sharing that story with us. Best of luck to you. We appreciate it. One of the other things that's out there is a notion called orphan drugs. And it's another big drug pricing issue that really needs to be reformed. In 1983, Congress passed a bill to encourage drug companies to develop treatments for rare illnesses that were referred to as orphan diseases. And in doing so, the government, gave generous tax credits, accelerated FDA regulatory reviews, and allowed them to circumvent FTC and created monopolies for the purposes of these drugs. And, of course, anytime you use the word monopoly, what are you going to have? Abuse. And that's exactly what happened. Crestor, a cholesterol drug, was an orphan drug. Now, I mean, there's all kinds of drugs out to deal with cholesterol. Arthritis treatment, Humira, was an orphan drug. So we're financing the R&D. They're getting special tax treatment. They're getting temporary monopolies for their products. And they're screwing us. I don't know when we're going to wake up. But I hope that the president, in putting this in the State of the Union, raises the ire of the constituents of this country enough that we begin to shout from the top of every mountain there is in order to effect change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.